One in the Saviour's name. This morning we want to thank you once again for coming to the house of the Lord, and on such a beautiful morning it is a joy that we can gather together and we can be found in his house. And we do welcome those as well that are joining online. Wherever you are this morning, we pray that the Lord's blessing will be with you and you will know even his speaking voice once again to your hearts. Do remember the evening service tonight at 7 p.m. And we are proceeding that, of course, with a time of prayer from 6:30 until 6:50. And I'll be hearing the will of the Lord to minister in God's word once again. We're continuing with our studies in the book of Acts. And this evening, we're looking at that presbytery meeting, which was recorded for us in Acts chapter 15. So we do encourage and invite each one to come back again this evening and be found even in your place in the Lord's house tonight. Wednesday night is our prayer meeting and our Bible study at 8 p.m. and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And it'll be great to see young and old alike gathering out to the house of the Lord to study the Word of God and also to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Then Friday night will be another youth fellowship meeting at 8 p.m. and it was good to see each young person who was out last Friday night, and we look forward even to that time of fellowship once again this Friday. We do remind young people to bring in those questions if you can this Friday evening, please, for our Q&A, which will be in the month of May. Then next Sunday, the services beginning, God willing, with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then the services at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. There will be, of course, the time of prayer before the evening service, and I'll be here to minister at both services. Can we also say to you that we're endeavouring to have a special offering next Sunday? It is on behalf of the Mission Board Relief Fund. If you were watching in to the Easter Convention, to the missionary meeting on the Saturday night, you will have heard that appeal being relaunched in relation to lifting and gathering in funds to help those of our missionaries that are in countries at this time that are under great stress and great burden because of this pandemic. Maybe you've already sent off an offering to the Mission Board from your own house, and that is excellent and it's entirely fine. But if you would like to donate via the church, then we are giving you that availability. If you bring in that offering next week, if you place it in a white envelope and just write in the envelope Relief Fund, and then if you want to add your covenant number, those are in the tax covenant scheme as well. But we are setting aside next Sunday, as I say, if you'd like to give towards that relief fund. Certainly on the news over these last number of days especially, we have seen the great stress and burden and the great concern that there is even in some of the eastern countries, in India and even in South America as well, has been hit hard. And we want to help if we can via our mission board and via our missionaries that are on the ground to disperse funds and even give that aid where it is possible to give. And so if you'd like, as I say, next Sunday bring in an offering, place in a white envelope, just Relief Fund on it, and we'll send that money on then to the Mission Board. Can we thank you as well in the Saviour's name, on behalf of our brother, Mr. Robert McConnell, for the offering that was lifted last Wednesday evening. It came to a fantastic total of £290. We want to thank you for that, and that money, as always, is sent on to the Mission Board to help for our brother's work. And certainly, it was an encouraging report that he brought, and we do thank the Lord for how the Lord has been blessing and using him. If you were able to join in to the prayer time yesterday, and just to update those that weren't, the Reverend Dean, the convener of the Government Morals Committee, he did mention a number of debates that are coming up and discussions on committee meetings, as it were, that are held in the House of Commons and the House of Lords in relation to the Secretary of State's proposals. Those are coming up this week. And we are encouraging you, just set aside time each day to be praying for them. There is a possibility that after this incoming week that the government is being prorogued for a period of time, and they may run out of time simply to even discuss or to move forward Mr. Lewis's desires. And we can certainly pray to that end that those bills and those legislations will not even pass through and be given the time of day. But we are encouraging you to be praying much in these days. Also, Mr. Dean, during or in between the two sessions of prayer yesterday, he listed a number of debates and a number of legislation pieces that are coming both to the Commons, the House of Commons, and also to Stormont and Belfast in the incoming months. There is that desire to ban smacking or any chastisement of children. That is one bill that is coming down the line. There's also those in relation to the gender conversion, as we saw that pass the other day, that there is that desire then for that Minister of Communities to bring forth legislation in relation to that. There are the issues in relation to abortion, and certainly there are many laws that are contrary to the Word of God that are in the pipeline to come through the various bodies of power. And we are encouraging you to be much in prayer in these days that the Lord will intervene and the Lord even will give the victory over these evil desires. Can we mention to you as well, just our final announcement is on behalf of our OMA congregation this afternoon over in Fintana. It is a drive-in mission. They're commencing at the Ecclesville Centre this afternoon at 3:30, and then Monday to Friday just this week at 7:30. And if you can at all go along to those services and support our brethren over there, then we do encouraging you, or we are encouraging you to do so. Apart from Wednesday night, of course, we look for you here in God's house. But we do pray that the Lord will bless the Reverend Mercer and the Reverend Jonathan Crane as they conduct that mission. And we do pray that souls will be saved. Now we're going to commence our worship this morning. And if you wish to follow along with the hymns both morning and evening, if you turn in your hymn book for the first one, the hymn is 474. 474 is our first hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Thank you. And let's stand once again for prayer, please. Let's unite our hearts together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do come before thee, O God, this day with reverence and with praise in our hearts. We do rejoice that thou art the great God of heaven and of earth. We do rejoice that we are coming before thee this day, and we have the audience and acceptance with thee. We come to thee rejoicing, O God, this day that this is once again Resurrection Sunday. We come rejoicing that we are serving and we are praising a living Saviour. And we have the acceptance with thee because of the one at thy right hand, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. We do come to thee, O God, and we are so thankful that we stand in Christ. Lord, we do rejoice that whenever thou lookest upon us, thou dost not see us for who we are, but rather thou seest Christ. We thank thee for our Saviour. We thank thee for his sinless perfection. We thank thee, O God, that he was and is the spotless Lamb of God, the one who took our sin and our sorrow and who made them his very own. We do acknowledge, O God, that we did not deserve even the least of thy mercies. And therefore, we are so thankful for the grace of God being given towards us. We thank thee for that saving grace. We thank thee for that keeping grace, that sustaining grace, even in our lives. We do rejoice at each one that is saved, that we are saved for time and indeed for all eternity. Lord, we do rejoice that one day we will see thee. One day we will be with thee forever. And Lord, until that day, Lord, enable us to praise thee. Father, we thank thee for another Lord's Day that thou hast blessed us with. We thank thee for the measure of health and strength that we are able to gather together. And we are able to gather in this fashion to worship and to praise thee. We thank thee, O God, for the open door. We thank thee that we can come into this building together. Each one, O God, gathering with that desire in our hearts that we would see Jesus. That we would hear his speaking voice once again to our hearts this day. Lord, we do pray for every individual. We do pray, O God, for every individual need. Lord, thou knowest the cares and the concerns even that are being carried by thy people in these days. O Lord, that thou wilt watch over them, that thou wilt keep them. And even as they walk and make their journeys through this life, that they will know thy continual presence and hand upon them. O Lord, remember even across this land this day. Remember the going forth of thy precious word. O Father, how much we need the preaching of Christ. How much we need the preaching of the cross in these days. O God, righteousness exalteth the nation. I know that Christ will be exalted. And Christ will be lifted high in this day and in this generation. Lord, we see the wickedness of man. We see the wicked devices that are in every hand. We see, O God, and we hear of what is being planned and what wickedness they seek to bring in. And, O Lord, we acknowledge that the answer to all of the problems of this land, the answer is Christ. O Father, we think even as our attention was drawn to it just at Easter time 100 years ago, and the great depths of anxiety and anarchy that this land of ours was being brought into. We think of that great possibility even at that time of civil war. And yet thou didst have a man to stand. And we thank thee, O God, through the preaching of W.P. Nicholson, that preaching of the cross, that this land was turned upside down for Christ. O God, in these days we pray thee for faithful preachers. We pray thee, O God, for many pulpits to herald forth the great news of the gospel. O Lord, that each one of us as thy servants will take our stand for thee and will exalt Christ and will preach Christ. O Lord, undertake, we pray thee. Lord, remember the needs even across this world today. We think even as we've mentioned already that the great concerns and the great depths of despair, O God, even at this time that are raging in India and South America, Lord, the many families that are being plunged into despair and even into times of great mourning. O Father, we ask thee and we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon the lands, that thou wilt turn away this virus, that thou, O God, wilt take it away if it be in accordance with thy will. Strengthen thy servants, strengthen each of the missionaries, the saints of God in those lands. Enable them, O God, to bring forth and to show forth the compassion of Christ, to present Christ even in those places. And Lord, that many will be turned from their sins, and many will put their faith and trust in Christ. Father, bless us here, we pray thee. Bless our time together in thy house. Oh, that Christ will be in the midst of us. And Christ will be lifted high. In his worthy name we pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from the Psalms at this stage, and I invite you to open in the Psalm 101. The Psalm 101 carries the simple heading, the Psalm of David. The Psalm 101, and beginning at the verse number 1. I will sing mercy, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Amen. And we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his infallible truth. Our second hymn this morning is the hymn 418. The hymn 418, again, if you wish to follow along, please do so in your hymn book. The hymn 418, I'm pressing on the upward way.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles once again, please. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to read those opening verses again this week. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And we'll read down to the end of verse 6. Turning again, once again, to the farewell of Elijah. The farewell of Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2, the verse 1. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Amen. And may, as always, the Lord add his own blessing to our hearts from the reading of his word. Let's stand once again just for a moment's prayer, please. Let each and every one be praying that the Lord will speak to us and even speak to our hearts through his word. Father, we come to thee, O God, with thy word open before us. And how thankful we are that this is the living word of God. We thank thee that it is here even for our instruction. It is here for our correction. It is here, O God, to be that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. And Father, once again, as we come now to the preaching part of the service, we do ask that thou wilt empty each and every one of thy children from self and from sin, that thou wilt fill them with thy Holy Spirit, and, O God, that thou wilt enable the going forth of thy precious word, Lord, to find that great and that deep resting place in each and every heart. Lord, I confess my great need even now. Lord, I confess I am nothing without thee. I need that power to be given once again to me. Come, O Holy Spirit, come and fill me and use me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we return once again to walk with Elijah on his final day upon this earth. His ministry, which had been owned and blessed of the Lord, was coming to an end. He is on his final journey before leaving this scene of time. A reminder once again that regardless of who you are, this world is not your final home. You are but passing through. The question, even before we go any further this morning, is where are you heading? Vance Havner, he said, Christians are not citizens of this earth, but rather they are trying to get to heaven, or they're not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven, but they are citizens of heaven making their way through this world. And praise the Lord this morning for the child of God. We are assured of heaven as if we are already there. We do not have to have that concern upon our hearts that when we are upon our deathbed or when we breathe our last breath, we do not have that worry. Where are we going? we know within our hearts this day, as if we're already there, that we are going to heaven. That we have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. But you know, sadly for the unrepentant sinner, each one that is not saved as they're making their way through this world, they will only end up in one place. Hell. You see, sinner, this morning when you finish journeying through this world, your final destination, it must be one of two places. You're either going to heaven to be with the Lord, or you're going to hell to be away from the Lord and to be cast out from the Lord's sight forever. Surely there is that imperative, surely there is that emphasis to the sinner this morning to prepare to meet thy God. To repent of your sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while you still are in the day of opportunity, while you're still in the day of grace, that you would turn and you would believe on the Lord and you would be saved. You know, last week we began to look at Elijah's farewell journey. We considered just the one point last week. We considered that circuit that Elijah took, and we noted those four locations that are mentioned. And we looked at their meaning and we looked at their importance even to us in our lives. Gilgal was the place of beginnings. Bethel was the benediction. Jericho was the battle. And Jordan was the blessings. And then as we come again now this morning to this passage, there are three other points I want to leave with you. Three other encouragements to the believer this morning, even as we journey through this life. I want you to consider with me now the company for Elijah. The company for Elijah tells us that Elijah, in verse 1, that Elijah went with Elisha. You know, this entire journey of Elijah, all 35 miles, and not one day, he was not alone. From the beginning of that day, even as he made his departure from Gilgal, right to the crossing of the River Jordan, never once did he walk, never once did he take a step without company for his journey. Elisha was with him every single step of the way. And as we've read together, it wasn't for want of trying to be on his own. We've read those verses, he's constantly seeking Elisha to leave him alone. He's constantly seeking Elisha to remain behind. The verse 2, the verse 4, the verse 6, he says three occasions, tarry here, I pray thee. In other words, he's pleading with Elisha, leave me alone. You stay here, I need to go further. Please leave me alone. Just as Moses had went up into Mount Pisgah alone and surveyed those lands of Canaan, so too did Elijah want to go it alone. Reminds me as well of Naomi and Ruth in the chapter 1. Whenever Naomi is returning to Bethlehem from Moab, and at the beginning of that journey, both Orpah and Ruth are going with her. And she's doing her best. She's pleading with her daughter-in-law, you stay here, I'm going to go to Bethlehem myself. In verse 12, she says, turn again, my daughters, go your way. Of course, we know that story, it recounts to us. Orpah then, she hugged her mother-in-law and she left. And then in verse 15, she says to Ruth, return now after thy sister-in-law. She's pushing again. You go that way. And yet both with Naomi and with Elijah, they would not travel alone. And what a wonderful picture that company is. Of the company that the child of God has in our journey, that company being the Lord Jesus Christ. That every single step of our journey, right from the beginning of our walk in faith, right from that moment when we come into Christ and we're saved and we're born again, that every single step of the journey, Christ walks with us. We never take a step without Him. We never go without Him. Every single journey, every single step of the way, from that moment that we're saved until the moment that we come to heaven and we're with the Lord in the physical presence, He walks with us. Never abandoned. Never left alone. Christ has promised each and every child of God this morning, I will never never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Doesn't matter how hard your life becomes. It doesn't matter how dangerous your life becomes. It doesn't matter how distant or how forsaken you may feel in regards to the world around you. Or even if you're coming to that place and you're alone in your own house, the Lord has promised, I will never leave you. Even if we try to get away from Christ. Elijah here, he's trying to get away from Elisha. And he's literally pleading with him. He's saying to him, please, I pray thee, tarry here. Now there are those occasions, sadly, whenever a child of God backslides. They take their eyes off the world and they seek to go back towards, or they take their eyes off the Lord and they're seeking to go back towards the world. And yet the Lord has promised, I am married to the backslider. I am not breaking in that covenant. I am not breaking that relationship. And so when we walk, he walks before us, and indeed he walks beside us. As Matthew 28 to verse 20, that promise that he gave to the disciples, he says, lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the earth. The child of God, he never leaves us in life, and he never leaves us in death. He is that eternal company for us. Yes, we have friends that come and go. We have friends that we have maybe as we go through the schooling, the university days, but as we then move on in life, those friends become distant. Our contact with them becomes less. Because of where our career takes us or where our family takes us, we then lose connection with certain ones that we call friends. But not so with Christ. It doesn't matter if we move to a different land. It doesn't matter if we move across our nation or wherever we go. The Lord is our eternal company. Thank God today we don't hold his hand. If we held his hand, we could let it slip, couldn't we? Whenever we become weak, that grasp could just let go. We could find ourselves disconnected. Thank God through our life, the company that we have, it's Christ that holds our hand. And he never lets go. He never forsakes us. He never, ever leaves us or separates himself from us. Yes, God may distance himself. Yes, there are occasions when God will withdraw himself from us. Those times, even as we've seen in the life of Elijah, when he got that letter from Jezebel and then he ran away from the will of God. Yes, God was distanced himself. He withdrew himself. But then what did we read? God then came right back to Elijah, Mount Horeb. He spoke with him and he brought him back. Oh, what a blessing it is for the child of God. Thank God for that company that we have in Christ Jesus this morning. We can call him Emmanuel. We can call him Emmanuel with that full knowledge in our hearts this morning. And we can say it, God is with us. He is that company in life. He is that company in death. Now, whenever you think of death, you think of Christ's death. The only one who died alone. His friends forsook him. His father forsook him. And when Christ was hanging upon that cross, all forsaken, died alone. He was forsaken, the man of sorrows. He was alone. Thank God, therefore, that each one of us who are in Christ will never be alone. We can say with the psalmist that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Child of God, this morning we have a company with the great King of Kings himself. And every single step of our journey, no matter how long, no matter how hard, he walks with us. I want you to see, secondly, this morning, not only the company for Elijah, but I want you to think of the communion for Elijah. The communion for Elijah. You know, as Elijah makes that final journey, there was much talking to be done. We've really highlighted part of the conversations that were taking place. There was that walk, even between Elijah and Elisha. There were those occasions when Elijah is pleading with him. He's saying, please stay behind, tarry here, I pray thee. And no doubt then, as Elisha said, no, as they're walking those 35 miles, they're leaving Gilgal, they're going to Bethel. I've no doubt they talked along the way, they communed one with the other. And even as they come in then to the different towns, to Bethel, to Jericho, there was conversations, there was communing with the sons of the prophets. And even as they came to the River Jordan, Elijah and Elisha are still communing. Elijah asks and grants him one desire. Tells us even as you go down to the verse 11 of chapter 2 that even after they've crossed over, it says it came to pass as they still went on and talked. They're still talking. They're still having that communion one with the other. But above and beyond the human conversations, there was another communion going on. There was a far greater and a far more personal communion that was taking place. For God was speaking to Elijah continually. We see it in the verse 2, the verse 4, the verse 6. What does he say every time? He says, tarry here, I pray thee. Why? The Lord hath sent me. Every single step that Elijah took, God was speaking to him. When they got up that morning at Gilgal and they're leaving Gilgal, God spoke to him. Go to Bethel. When they got to Bethel, then Elijah's moving on to Jericho. Why? God has told me, now go to Jericho. Every single part of his last day on this earth, what's happening? God is still speaking. God is still communing with his servant. Oh, what a blessing. What a wonderful testimony Elijah could relate. That communion, that guidance that he had had throughout his life. He could say every single part of his life, every single step that he took, apart from when he turned from the Lord, every single time that the Lord sent him anywhere, the Lord first spoke to him. Every single time God spoke to him, he went to Ahab. God spoke to him, he went to Cherith. God spoke to him, he went to Zarephath. God spoke to him, he went back to Ahab and he went to the Mount Carmel. God spoke to him and he returned from Mount Horeb. God spoke to him and he went even before Ahaziah. God had spoken to him and he had went to Naboth's vineyard. And now God is still speaking to him. From Gilgal to Bethel. Now go to Jericho. Now go to Jordan. Now cross the Jordan. Every single step, God is speaking with his servant. And thank God today, each and every one that is saved, God speaks to us. God speaks to us individually through his word, both in the reading of it, whether it be in the private place, whether it be that private closet devotion with the Lord, or even in the public place in the reading, and indeed the preaching of God's word, God speaks to his people. Doesn't matter your age. Yes, we can say that God speaks to the young. We can think of Samuel. Even how God spoke to him there in the temple. We can think of the older generation as well. We can think of the Moses. We can think of the Aaron. Even at that age of 80 and 83, and yet the Lord was still speaking to them. Every single step of the journey, every single mark and even path that you take, the Lord continuously speaks to his people. He doesn't just speak to them until they retire. He doesn't just speak to them until they can no longer do a work even in the house of the Lord. He still keeps on speaking. He doesn't just speak to them until they're no longer physically able to join in the house of God in the worship of the Lord. He can still speak to them and will still speak to them in the private place in their own home. Even if it gets to the point where the the elder saints of God no longer can see a Bible to read it. Or the elder saints of God no longer have the hearing to hear it. Yet thank God it can still speak to their hearts through that word that they've memorized and they've learned and they've heard over the years. He can still bring it back to them. And what a blessing it is to have that constant company with the Lord and to have that constant communion with the Lord. Regardless of age, regardless of health, regardless of your circumstances, the Lord never seeks to leave or to stop speaking to his children. I think of the words that are found in 1 John in the opening four verses. 1 John the chapter 1, the verses 1 to 4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. My, what joy there is for the believer. What joy there must have been for Elijah even as he walked that day. And even as each and every one of them, Elijah knew he was going home. Elisha knew he was going home. The sons of the prophets knew he was going home. And yet throughout that final day, 35 miles of walking, what did Elijah have? The voice of the Lord speaking in his ear and speaking in his heart. Even the very final day of his life upon this earth, God was still speaking. Let me ask that question today of you. Do you have that joy in your heart? You have that joy in your life today? God speaks to me. I open up his word in my own house. I have that closet time with him. I open up the book. I read it. And God speaks to me. God encourages me. Maybe it's just a wee verse of a devotion that I have. And I just meditate upon that one verse. And God speaks to me through the day. And I come to the house of the Lord and we hear the preaching and maybe it's just one verse in passing or one line in passing and yet it's just that dart, as it were, from the Lord to our hearts and it just speaks to us. There's no greater joy. No greater joy than to have that sweet fellowship with Christ. I think of that wonderful hymn. In our hymn books, it's a hymn 354, I Come to the Garden Alone. The chorus that says, he walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In the verse 2, it says, he speaks. The sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. The verse 3, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. Oh, what joy is ours. We have that sweetest communion of all. Yes, it's lovely to be able to talk one with the other. Yes, it's lovely to be able to talk with family, with friends, but to be able to talk with God and for God to talk to us. Why isn't that the greatest difference? You think of Elijah upon Mount Carmel. And all of the hundreds of prophets of Baal are there. They're talking to their false god Baal, and yet he never once spoke to them. He never once answered them, and Elijah, he even was able to mock them. He says, maybe he's away a walk, maybe he's sleeping, you need to call louder, you need to shout louder. And they're chanting, they're dancing, they're doing their all. And yet Elijah prayed one prayer. And God immediately answered. Oh, what a blessing. Praise his name this day for the friend we have in Christ Jesus. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The company for Elijah, the communion for Elijah. Just one thing in passing and in closing. When you consider the comfort for Elijah. The comfort for Elijah. By comfort, I'm thinking primarily of its meaning in relation to encouragement. On that final journey of Elijah that day, as he made that circuit, there's much to encourage the child of God. You remember back, whenever Elijah was in the fits of depression, he wanted the Lord to take his life. He'd received that letter from Jezebel, that threatening letter, "I'm going to take your life." He'd run, and then he came to that end of himself, as it were, and he's crying unto the Lord, and he's wanting the Lord to take his life. He's wanting to die there and then. And he believed he was on his own. He believed, "I am the last. There is no one else but me. I'm the last servant of God. I'm the last one who still believes in Jehovah. I am the end. Once I die, that's it." Reality, in that moment, he's believing all of the doctrines of faith, all of the doctrines of God are going to die with me. Everyone's just going to follow after Baal. Everyone's just going to go after the world. There's going to be no Christianity. There's going to be no belief in the one true Jehovah. And yet now in his final journey, he has the privilege of visiting two Bible colleges. Those sons of the prophets in Bethel and Jericho. He's the privilege of seeing those men, communing with them, even in that final journey. Seeing men that were being trained in the ministry, being trained ready to be sent out as prophets in the land. By his side is Elisha, a man chosen of God. A man whom God directed Elijah to go to Elisha. He is going to serve after you. My, what encouragement. Even for Elijah on his final journey to know there was a future of the work, there was a future of the witness beyond just him. That it wasn't simply the case, "Oh Lord, my time is up, my ministry is over, and I don't know what's going to come in the future because I don't believe there's any progress. I don't believe there's anyone to follow after me. I don't believe there's anyone believing in the Lord." But rather, Elijah's making that final journey. He's hearing these men speaking to him. He's seeing the Spirit of God upon them. He's seeing that passion within their hearts, their love for the Lord, their passion for souls. And he's even walking with Elisha. He's talking with Elisha. He knows how far Elisha has come over the 10 years together. And he's having that comfort even in his heart. "Elijah, your time's up on this earth." But the witness goes on. The work goes on. Surely that's an encouragement for us all today. That ought to comfort our hearts, each and every one of us, that even if today was my last day, this church goes on. Even if today's your last day, the work carries on. The work of God is not one man. The witness of God is not one man. It is the Lord's work, and the Lord always has his witness. The Lord always has his people. There's always a remnant wholly sold out unto the Lord. A remnant that are willing to stand for the word and to stand with the word. That regardless of what comes, the witness is always there. You think down through the centuries of church history. You think of the countless occasions of persecution. Whether it be in the days of the Roman Empire. Those various Roman emperors that were raised up, whether it be Nero and all that he did to the Christian church. or whether it be all of those that came after him, and you think even the Roman Catholic Church across Europe, St. Bartholomew's Day, all of the massacre of the Christians in France. You think of the days even of the Waldensians, the Lollards. You think of the persecution against the Church of Christ by communism, by Islam. You think of those Christians in China and North Korea that are being persecuted and put to death even to this very day. God still has a people. God still has a witness. You think even of the efforts in our day that are even creeping in to Britain as a whole. The oppression that is there of those seeking to hinder the Church of Christ. And seeking to hinder even the preaching of the gospel. Whether it be the open-air preachers that they're now seeking to bring in laws. And even last week, just at the weekend, they dragged an old man down off his steps there in London. An old man preaching the gospel, and all he said that they took offense to was there were two genders that God made. And they dragged him down off his steps and they arrested him and they took him to a holding center at Heathrow. Thank God he's been released now. You think already those plans, conversion therapy, no more praying between a pastor and an individual. No more mentioning the things in relation to Christ and in relation to sin and the gospel. You think even of the laws that they're seeking to bring in constantly against the word of God. And yet God's witness will never be stopped. God's work will never be ceased. There will always be a witness for Christ. Until the Lord returns, the gospel will always be preached. Souls will always be saved. The church will be built. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. My, what a comfort, what an encouragement, even as we make our way through these lives. That God will always have his people. That even though at times the light is dim and darkness is coming in, as I mentioned it before, 1 Samuel, ere the light in the temple went out, God spoke. The light never is extinguished. The word of God endures forever. The witness of the gospel will never cease. God has his people. Oh, what a comfort it is even to our hearts. Yes, we can look, and those of the older generation can say, rightly so, how much our land has changed. Even the last 10 years, how much our land has changed. But the gospel never changes. It's still the power of God unto salvation. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank thee and we praise thee, O God, even for what we can learn from the life of Elijah. We thank thee, Lord, this day, that each one that is saved has that company in Jesus Christ, has that communion with Jesus Christ. We have that comfort that though our time in this earth may come to an end, yet the Lord still reigns upon the throne. The Lord is still in control. O God, encourage us through thy word. Lord, enable us to live for thee. And Lord, enable us to have that joy. And O God, grant us that joy that Jesus is with us, that he will never leave us, nor forsake us. Be with us now. Bless us, O God, and bring us again to thy house tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.